think about when they're thinking about food allergies.
Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer and start this morning worship? Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this day. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the sound mind that you've given us. Lord Jesus, we do pray for those that are still traveling here. Pray for safety. We pray for peace to be upon them and in their cars. We pray for those that are not able to be with us this day. Pray that you would bless them wherever they are, whatever their situation is, you would draw them close to you. Father God, we often sing or have sung the song, I Surrender All, and yet inside the truth would be, I surrender most. And Lord God, I pray that together we would be able to surrender all, and that we would be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. You would inhabit the praises of your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Why don't we all stand? If possible. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Father, I pray for all of us here this morning, Lord God, that if any of us are even somewhat asleep, Lord, spiritually, Father, I pray that you do wake us up, Lord, and have us just to be so attentive and so sober, Lord God, to your Holy Spirit and the things that you want us to do and the things that you want us to learn, Father. Help us to be so one with you, Lord God, right now. And I also pray, Lord God, that as we come here today, Father, that we are able to lay everything down, Lord. If any of us here are coming with burden, Father, I pray that we do lay it at your feet and ask you to take away any anxiety, any troubles, anything that we're going through.
Transgressions, crushed for our sins, the punishment that brought.
Help us to have that understanding, Lord, that there is no way for us to have freedom by ourselves, Lord. And the more that we realize how much we need to look you, Lord God, the more freeing it is, because then we don't have to feel like we have to be constantly perfect and do all these do's and don'ts. Because, Father, when we love you, we're going to want to make you proud, Lord God. It's going to be an honor to do right, Lord God, not a chore. Father, I pray, Lord God, today that you speak to everyone's heart, Father. Help them to understand what grace means. Help them to understand what love means, Father. Grace does not give us the license to live in sin. It gives us the freedom to get away from sin, Father. Help them to understand the difference, Lord. And help us to all walk in that grace, Father. Help us to really understand what that unconditional love is, Lord, that you have for us. Break our chains, Lord.
No, that's just for me. All right, you guys, you may be seated. Well, if you guys are coming late,
or you don't know,
you've got a little bit of bread.
I hadn't noticed.
Table back in the back there and back over there, and folks have already put bags and bags in their car. Now, on top of that, my son's just brought in more bags from Panera, the Panera loaves of bread, the big ones. So we've got bags of that too. So if there is anybody that you know that's in need, maybe some friends, some neighbors, feel free to take as much as you want. Don't feel like, well, if I take two, this is what will happen. We have so many wonderful Christian, loving, kind people here. I'll only take one. I'll only take two because I want everybody else to have some. We have so much that you can all take about 10 bags, and everybody will be fine. Okay, so take as much as you want. For yourselves, for your families, and also to help others in Jesus' name.
A house of bread.
A house of bread, that's right. So hopefully you'll get fed physically, but also you will get fed spiritually in Jesus' name.
A turn of a friendly loaf.
Yes. It's a bread. Yes, what little thing? Oh, man, Linda wants to address the church. Now I'm nervous.
I'm not going to stand up. I'll do it from here.
Okay, let me give you a mic then. Here you go.
I just want to talk about when you're praying for something and you totally surrender to God, how he does answer prayers. But you have to completely surrender, not to say, why surrender, and then, well, you know, where is it? Because it'll come in God's time. And I was praying to God that I made more than $20 extra for the month, you know, so I could start saving for stuff that I'm going to need down the road, like tires and stuff like that. And I was getting anxious, and I said, you know what? He's always provided up until now, so how come I'm not trusting him? So I said, I surrender to you totally, and you give me what I deserve or what you want me to have. And it came through, and he sent me people. I had like 5 airport runs. He sent me people to take them to doctor's appointments. And it was just amazing because it happened 1, 2, 3 in a matter of days. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted everybody to know that. Just total surrender.
Amen. 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 Good word.
Okay, here's the mic. Okay, well, we've got a few things to go over today, so let's get right to it. Again, guys, you have tons of bread. Please continue to pray for Pastor Paul in Africa, his son. I don't know if you guys know the latest update, but basically the bottom line of it is that he is feeling better after this intense prayer. They don't know why yet. They still don't know what's the matter with him, but somehow he's doing better. Honestly, all they can say is it's miraculous. But continue to pray, as they still have no idea what happened, what went wrong, what's going on. So pray for them as they've been ministering 17 years in the slums of Africa. It was so great to have him here a few weeks ago. And hey, I just noticed that. I wonder if the Lord brought that to my attention on purpose. He came and spoke here a couple months ago. I just happen to have 3 CDs. If you would like to hear that message, it's a free gift to you in Jesus' name. We've handed them all out. Is there anyone else who would like to hear that message? Okay, one back there. Thomas, would you be good? Back there. Okay, good. Anybody else? I got 2 more. Awesome message from a missionary who's been on the field for almost 20 years, discipling the poorest of the poor. Anybody else? 2 left.
It was great.
Mm-hmm. It was a great message. Well, they're right here if you change your mind. Okay. Also, I'm going to skip some of this today because we got a lot of stuff to go over. We have a time of communion. But if you'd like to join us for prayer early here today, then please come in here around 9 or 9:30. We start praying for the church and the community and the school and things like that. So see Gary or Joel or Heidi or Flo, and they would love to be praying with you, or Chris or maybe Joe. Also, is it this week, Mr. Gary?
How a man after God's own heart fights a war, and we'll have a little pulled pork on Sunday.
Okay. All right, so that's this Tuesday at 6 p.m. We have dinner. We've got some pulled pork. It's always awesome. And then we're going to have a Bible study on being the man of God. And so we'd like you to join us. That's this Tuesday at 6, about 6 to 8. And there's no youth group this week. Is that correct?
Correct.
Or is it next week? I always forget.
Okay,
next week. All right, we'll talk about
it.
Gotcha. Okay, and but thank you for doing that pool party. I heard it was a great time. And I heard especially the pool party and the ATVs, all the teens saying they rode the ATVs. They said that was awesome. I'll try not to be jealous of that. So, you know what? We need to have a little pool party for the adults. So if you want to bring ATVs to your property, just saying. Maybe the men's group?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We are. Okay. So anyway, also Thursday night we have a barbecue and Bible study here. So we have food for dinner for your family. You just need to come. You want to bring a side dish to share. We'd love that. But basically it's 6 p.m. We all have dinner together, and then we study the Word together. And we're going to be in 1 Kings this week, and we'd love to have you. I think we're in chapter 13. Going to the Old Testament. We'll share about the school. Amazing things are actually happening. Some more amazing things. We'll share that next week because we want to go through some of those baptism pictures from last week that we were supposed to have. And it was just, again, for those of you who weren't here, it was an amazing time. Even a couple weeks ago, even though there was a tropical storm, we still had the baptism. And what an awesome picture it was of... during these times with the waves crashing and the world crashing in on us and storms all around us, people desiring to seek the Lord. And hey, Rumsey, welcome. Good to see you.
Yay!
Hey! Okay, how come I'm not getting applause to me tonight? Anyway. So anyway, it was just an amazing time. And in fact, another young man just shared with me today that he wants to get baptized, and so we're going to be talking. I'm very proud of him. I think that's awesome. And then Nick, I don't know if Nick's here today, but Nick also, another first person here at the church, shared that he wants to get baptized as well. And so pray over him. But it was such a fantastic time of just fellowship and worship, even in the midst of the storm. I know somebody didn't come out because of the winds and waves and stuff, but it was just a magnificent time. And we prayed over each of the six people getting baptized. And God had some prophetic words that he spoke through some people. Some of the people didn't even know any of the folks getting baptized, and yet God spoke through them. And it was great to have words of encouragement, verbal gifts, people praying over people, words of prophetic words over people. It was just a wonderful time in the Lord. And thank you guys for coming out and making the trip and sharing the word. It was just beautiful. And so we're so grateful that you all came, even again, in the midst of the storm. And so after we did that, we all went out. And a few people, the first one to get baptized is little Ezekiel Truth there. And he's 7 years old. And so he was the first one to go get baptized. And he wasn't scared at all, even in that rough surf. So we had a few people that got baptized that were doing the baptism. The waves were so rough that he's not going to go. Mr. Gary got baptized. I think I just saw him do a somersault. I never seen that before. It was a little uncomfortable watching him roll by. Debbie Jo kind of what would have brought upstream had not somebody from our body grabbed her. But that's a good picture, right? It's a good picture of when somebody's being swept away by the world, grabbing them, pulling them back. And so that was Ezekiel. So thank God for Ezekiel. Then we have little beautiful So-So. And she was the next one to be baptized. So thank you, Jesus, for Sophia. It's awesome. Awesome. She wanted to do that. And then we had Isabel, and for those of you who don't know, it started off from a little house church, just meeting with this one family, and they live in the other coast now, but they wanted to come over, and their daughter wanted to get baptized with us here at our church. And so they came out, too, all the way from the other coast during the storm, and it was an amazing time. And so it was kind of funny when she was getting baptized. It was like the storm sucked out. You know how that does that? It sucks out all the water. Mm-hmm. So we put her under. It was like. That was just nuts. And but it was just an amazing time. And so thank you, Isabel. And then Brandon. And for those of you, I don't even want to, I won't even tell you about what's going on. But anyway, he's been coming to the youth group, and he's been coming to the CYA thing we had for the kids. He's been reading the Bible cover to cover at his age. And it's an amazing thing. And so thank you, Jesus, for Brandon. Actually, now you guys don't know, he actually got saved there. God's been working in his heart, and he wanted to get baptized, and so we took him aside, and he hadn't accepted the Lord. And so we started explaining to him the gospel. And before we could even get finished, he dropped to his knees and started asking Jesus into his heart to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior, right there in the middle of the beach in front of everybody. It was amazingly beautiful. And so, then Richard. Now, God must have known that he needed an extra watch. I don't know where he is, but let's just say, Ricardo. This was his baptism. I'm not kidding. He was on the super scrub. And so, but it was amazing, all the people there. And thank you, Jesus, for Richard, a.k.a. Ricardo. What a blessing. And then we had a double blessing as mom. The beautiful, wonderful family, Leslie. Decided to get baptized right there and then as well. And it was so special and so beautiful and so wonderful. How about a statement? And so we baptized her right there and then as well. And welcome to the family. It's a beautiful time. So praise the Lord, guys. Now, here's one last thing. I know we're taking a little bit of time, but you know what? It really just starts. So right now, for those of you who just got baptized, you know, some are in the children's ministry in the back portable, but we just want to encourage you. Now you got to dig into the Bible studies. Now you got to dig into the Word. You got to draw close to the Lord. We want to encourage you to do that. But here, we also have a challenge. You know, each one of these folks that got baptized, you know what? They need your prayers right now more than ever because the enemy wants to detour them, distract them, get them back focused on themselves or on the job or on the circumstances of life. They need your prayer and they need you to help them grow. when you see these people, you encourage them. You bless them. You pray over them. Even if they don't know you're praying for them, you pray for them anyway. You encourage them in the Lord. That's our job as a body, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So that's that. So we are in the Word. If you could open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We go through verse by verse. And we are in the book of Jonah, God's redeeming love. If you don't have a Bible, Chris, you can find me and the man and deliver some of those bills. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and Chris will deliver one right to you as I'm opening there, too. Some in the back. Hey, Lisa, you've got those lights back there. Give me a second to get there myself. Okay, so for those of you who haven't been, we're in Jonah chapter 4. And if you remember, Jonah was called by the Lord to minister to some nasty people that he didn't want to minister to. And some folks that he didn't like. And so the prophet Jonah, one of God's chosen people, right? You think, oh, he must be so spiritual and everything. Well, if you come to know God and God's people, sometimes they can be really mature in one area and like little infant babies in another area. And this was the case with Jonah. And so Jonah, even though he was a well-known prophet, we showed you historically, archaeology, you know, all this stuff. We're not going to go over all that again. But he had a bad attitude about God's will and God's word and God's people that he was trying to reach. It was a sad, sad thing. If you've missed those teachings, you can see them or hear them online at homefellowshipchurch.com. But I would encourage you to do so. In chapter 1, when Jonah starts running the wrong direction, God tells him to go do it. And Jonah's doing this, la 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 la, can't you guys don't want to do it? And as Jonah heads in the wrong direction, we see in chapter 1 that he lost his heart for others. He lost his love for others because he didn't obey the Lord. We saw that he lost his hearing for the voice of God in verse 5 of Jonah chapter 1. In verse 6, we saw that he lost his zeal and energy. You know, he just wanted to sleep and pull the comforter over our heads when he wasn't obeying the Lord. And that's what sin does to you. You know, you just want to just like die, you know, and then he lost his passion and power to pray. All the pagans are praying, but he's not. And then in verse 7 to 10 in chapter 1, we see that he lost his testimony and his witness because he has to admit, hey, I'm Jonah, I'm the reason for the storm, throw me into the sea, I'm just, you know, that's why you're all in danger. We saw in Jonah 2 that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, and again, nobody has any problem believing that man can create a sub that can carry somebody, right? From one place to another. But the creator of the entire universe can't specially prepare a fish to do the same thing. Hello. But in the belly of the whale, we showed you that Jonah's prayer, he had real thanksgiving. Yet in verse 2, real recognition, not blaming others for his sin, real recognition of his sin, real repentance, real rededication, and then real results. This fish spit him back up on land and probably bleached and bald and all that and went back. God gave him another chance. It's a beautiful thing to see. In chapter 3, he goes back to the nasty Ninevites. And I say nasty because you guys, if you weren't here, they were very, very brutal people. They flayed people, impale people, just terrible, brutal people, especially to the Jews. God bless you, Jim. And he has. And so he went back to Nineveh, and an awesome thing happened. The coolest thing, one of the greatest revivals ever in the city of Nineveh, one of the biggest cities in the world at that time. We showed you lots of archaeology. 120,000 people in the city proper got saved. And there's 600,000 in the surrounding provinces. And they repented. They turned away from their wicked ways, and they turned to the Lord. Amazing, amazing thing. So I already showed you that stuff. And this is such a cool thing. The Lord is not slow to keeping his promise, 2 Peter says. As some understand slowness, but he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Even the people that you don't like. Even the people that don't deserve it. That you don't think deserve it. Even those people that rub you the wrong way. Or that are out to get you. Even them. Love them. Yes.
Who does deserve it?
That's a great question. That's right. Who does deserve it? And what's the answer?
Nobody.
So now we are in Jonah chapter 4. And I've entitled it The Pouting Prophet. Okay? Now listen, I'm going to have you keep that light just for a second. Now, if I were writing a story, okay, you know, here we have all of these Ninevites, these Assyrians. They repented at the word of the Lord. That's an amazing thing. That's a supernatural thing that they did. And they want to serve the Lord. They put on sackcloth, ashes, maybe God will spare us. And he did. You know, it's so funny when I read, like, when I read in Isaiah, you know, and I'll just read this to you, and I can, Isaiah chapter 3, many times God's people would repent. And he had to tell, this is what he says to his own people. Here's the pagans are repenting, but now he's talking to his own people. He had to say, woe to the obstinate children of the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit. These are rebellious people, deceitful children, unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. He goes on to say, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. And that's true. That's what Linda was talking about. Surrendering it all. Trusting him with everything. But then it goes on to say, sadly, but you would have none of it. I don't want to be that pouting prophet. I almost wish that it ended in chapter 3, right? Okay, so we got a godly guy. We've all gone the wrong direction at one time, haven't we? We screwed up, right? Okay, so Jonah goes the wrong direction. God, in his mercy, brings him back, right? He prays the prayer of repentance. Oh, Lord, I'll do anything, whatever. And he does. And God gives him another shot, and he goes back to that city. He preaches huge salvation to everybody, walking with the Lord. Woo-hoo! And verse 10 of chapter 3, it would be so cool if it just ended there. Because it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, this is in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. If it stopped there, it would be an amazing, amazing thing. Here we have Jonah, the hero, repentant, backslidden hero, going the right direction. We have all the people saved. Perfect ending to a perfect story. The girl gets the guy. The guy saves the day. Whatever you want to say, whatever the perfect story ending is, this is it. But the first few words of the next line say, but Jonah. Maybe that's prophetic. But Jonah. And here's the thing. The Bible isn't interested in having nice, perfectly neat packaged stories. God's word is concerned with truth. And the truth of his word doesn't always come in a neat package. Peter, one of his disciples, remember, did that come in a neat package? He called curses down himself and said, I don't know, blankety-blank man, when he was talking about Jesus. David committed adultery. Moses committed murder. These things aren't pleasant to talk about. But these things are written so that you and me would be able to learn from their mistakes. So we wouldn't make the same dumb mistakes that they did, right? So now you're going to see a glimpse of a guy who's a pouting prophet. All right? So first we have our friend, but Jonah. It says, so here all these people get saved. Remember, if you're just joining us, right? Thousands of people repenting, turning from their sin to the Lord. So exciting. But it says, but Jonah was greatly joyful in his heart. Does it say that?
No.
What does your Bible say?
Displeased.
He was greatly displeased. Isn't that a bummer? And if that wasn't all, it says that he was what?
Angry. Very angry.
there, you became angry. That word in Hebrew, just so you know, is that word in Hebrew is chara. And that means to kindle. Like, you ever have, not like your Amazon Kindle, but whatever it is, but it means like, if you are stoking a fire, you know what I mean? If the fire is going down, you ever done that? You're like roasted hot dogs and marshmallows. You stoke the fire, you kindle it, and it gets kind of, the flames start coming up again. It means literally to glow hot. Almost like if you guys have like some of those ovens or stoves, like those countertops, and you turn it on, you know, it goes, you see it getting redder and redder and redder. And when it's like at that glowing hot, then you know you touch it, you're burned. Yeah. This is what he's saying. This is Jonah's heart. He's that mad. That's not a good place to be. Yes?
I thought about this a lot last week, too, when we had brought up that fact, you know, about being angry, even about these people being saved. And it really spoke to my heart a lot, too. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you put it in perspective, these were very, very wicked people, you know, as you were saying. So I know even for me, you know, it speaks to my heart because when I think about wicked people and how disgusting and vile they can be and the horrible things that they can do,
yes.
You know, I know we all sin, but there's certain things that, you know, there are certain things that you're just like, oh my goodness, you know. In my heart, I'm like, I don't want them to be forgiven because
yes.
of the disgusting things and horrible things that they did, you know?
Yes.
But once again, that makes me reflect. And so I'm putting it in, like, perspective, too. It's not like these were just bad guys. I mean, these they did pretty awful things.
Not pretty awful.
It doesn't make
yes.
it right for Jonah to
right.
not listen to God, you know? But I'm saying even personally, you know, if we all think about that in our own lives of people that have hurt us and we think they don't deserve forgiveness, it's like, well, we don't either. But that's why it's so much more important to give it, you know?
Yes.
But, anyway.
Good word. Good. Lisa, do you have something that you wanted to share too? So, can you bring that? Or, yeah. Thank you, sweetie. Right back to Miss Lisa. Thank you. Thank you. Good job, buddy.
I guess what Darren's referring to is we had a conversation last night about this same thing, Amy, and we're like, I was talking to him about it. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, when you think and you just dwell on all those things, I would struggle, you know, if Jonah's got these pictures in his mind of what terrible things they've done to people and just the slain that they, the kill that's outside their gates. I mean, if you think about those things, you know, in the natural man, we want to say, get them, God, you know, just destroy them, you know. And, you know, I think about ISIS. I think about those kind of things, too. I struggle with praying for them to come to the Lord. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, God, when are you just going to get them? Because, you know, they're really doing some really terrible things. And we can struggle in just little things. It made me think, you know, going through this really made me think because, you know, sometimes we look at it as what they've taken away from us or what we've seen that was so awful. Rather than their relationship, they have to have a relationship with God, and that's between them and God. So I can see a struggle. I think we have to go beyond that struggle, like Amy was saying.
Agreed.
But I think we'd be amiss to say that it wouldn't be hard for us if we saw the terrible things they did.
Yeah.
To rejoice right away, you know, it would be hard.
We could be judgmental.
It would be hard if you see how terrible, or if you've known somebody that's happened to, or if somebody's been murdered in your own family, and the forgiveness there, and then they come to the salvation. You know, we have to understand that there's going to be a struggle. We need to come to the other end, but there's going to be a working there that has to take place, and that's only from the Holy Spirit. You know.
Yeah. You know, it says. You know, and God's not only concerned about them, God's concerned about Jonah. He could have left it there, but it's almost like, you know, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. If you just looked at the situation, you would have said everything's fantastic. But God's going, oh, Jonah, your heart's totally wrong. Well, they deserve it. They deserve worse. Yeah, but Jonah, your heart deserves worse too. You've been shown mercy, yet you're not shown mercy to them. But Jonah's not getting it because he's prideful. Yes, bring the mic to Ms. Jonah. Yes. Right over there. That's right. Go ahead, Ms. Jonah.
I was going to say this after Lisa said her piece, and this slide works right into that. You know, I think all of this stuff happens when we take our eyes off of God a little bit and we start looking inwardly. I think, I feel, I want, instead of what God has. And when we look at God instead, somewhere in there, he sees the next Paul. You know, that man that was, you know, Saul and just killing people and evil and whatever, but he knows. Here's the next Paul. And we just see, you know, all of this, you know, stuff. But if we're looking at God, we can see God's heart in all of it.
I'll never forget the time when we were in Ybor City. We were witnessing. We were handing out tracts. And it was, I think it was actually on Halloween. So let me just tell you. So Ybor City, Halloween, day and night. Let me tell you. And you're talking about Jesus. It's not a great combo. But anyway, you know, and so, man, I just had people just come up to me, crackle, right, drop it in my face. You wanted to talk about this church stuff at home, and, you know, and I was like, man, you know, I started getting at these people. You know what? Of course, right before I got saved, I was a big drunkie, bloody, whatever, but, you know, now I'm all saved and righteous now, so they deserve it now. Well, these sinners. But anyway, when I was young in the Lord, and so I was like, Lord, you know, and I just was like, Lord, will you show me? I'll never forget this. I said, Lord, will you show me these people? Because I was mad. I didn't want to do it. And they were also scary. You know, you got 8-10 guys getting around, you know, and I'm at the time I was pretty buff, but I was thinking, I don't know about this. I'm in trouble. And I said, will you show me, help me to see them how you see them? And he did the most amazing thing. It was a supernatural thing that he did. He just took scales off my eyes. And instead of seeing the girl in, you know, the club outfit, the perfect blonde, you know, mini-skirted, you know, he showed me her as a hurt little girl who'd been sexually abused. He showed me the big muscle guy who was drinking, yeah, Jesus, my homeboy. He saw it as just as insecure little boy who just needed love. It was a supernatural moment. You know when the Lord kind of does those things, mm-hmm. and such a love poured into me. I saw them not as they were, but really as God saw them. And that's what God is trying to do to Jonah. But Jonah, don't be so quick to judge him, because you could be like a Jonah too. Mm-hmm. You could be. I can be a little self-righteous, a little prideful, a little judgmental. Isn't that true? And don't judge, you know, Jonah. We can't judge by outward appearances. Here's Jonah, who's got a little snotty, pouty, bratty heart, right? And 120,000 or however many got saved. 600,000, we don't even know. And here you look at Noah, who preached for years, and only those around him that got saved, right? His family. Or Jeremiah, they called him the weeping prophet because nobody would listen to him. Can't just go by results. God's interested in the heart. He's interested in your heart. Yes, somebody was raising their hand. Is that you? Yes, go ahead, Rebecca. Okay, we're bringing in the mics.
Were the Ninevites Jews or no?
No, the Ninevites, sorry, they were Assyrians.
Is that part of Jonah's reluctance?
It was kind of like, yes, they were actually enemies of the Jews, and they were probably amongst the most brutal people in the entire world. They probably, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, even in history, historical records, apart, they are the most brutal people that have kind of like existed. They would take the heads of their enemies. We showed some of this, and they would put them outside their gate and mortar it together. They were just terrible people, as far as brutality-wise. So Jonah had he could easily look on them and say, why would God want to save them? But God looked at him and said, I want to save them. You know what? From the beginning, God has made his house a house of prayer for all nations. But yes, because of, I think, of pride, we can kind of think, well, it's just for us. You know, we're the chosen frozen. You know? You know? us a few, you know, one, two more, there's a little same anyway. But yes, and so I can see where he could do that, and I can see where you and I have done that. They just deserve it, don't they? Well, God's saying they don't. Look at this next line. When it talks about, it says that they became angry with God, and it says, then he prayed, all right, listen to this, verse 2, right? He prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Oh, I didn't want you to save that person. Oh, I didn't want you to save them. You know, the sad thing is, Jonah prayed his best prayer in the worst condition. In the belly of the fish, he's like, oh, humble Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. Now that I'm in trouble, I need your mercy. But here he's in the best spot. People got saved. They repented. It's amazing. And he prays his worst prayer in the best spot. Isn't that silly? Our God is a God who's gracious and compassionate. And there's tons of scriptures that, for those of you guys who like scriptures, Exodus 34, 6-7. Numbers 14:8, Psalm 86:15, Nehemiah 9:7, they all say the same type of thing. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious or merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love. Whatever people group, whatever ethnic group, whatever group that you look down upon, you are wrong because God loves them all. I had a friend, and one of our neighbors had a license plate. It was M-A-N-H-8-R. Man-hater. I've met a lot of people that hate men, hate women, hate whatever, you name it. That is not the heart of the Lord. He desires for all to come to repentance. You know, it's because of his mercy. 1 Peter 1:3 says, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth. You didn't get that born-again experience to be born again because you earned it. He gave it to you, a free gift of salvation. That's his mercy. Wow. Let me tell you, maybe you think you deserved it. I didn't, that's for sure. I know Emily didn't. No, I'm just kidding. We don't deserve this. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here, hit that light, Chris. Thanks. It goes on to say, he's like saying, oh, I knew you were going to save him. Verse 3 says, now, O Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live.
Oh, wow. Pity party.
He means it. He's serious.
I know.
Now, Kent, let me ask you a question. Why is Jonah depressed? Here.
Maybe because he thinks God's...
Wait, what?
His enemies are thriving.
His enemies are thriving. Good. So where's Jonah's focus then?
Himself.
What?
Himself.
Jonah's focus is on himself. You know what? Here, now, I'm not trying to make light. He's depressed. He's like, I just want to die. You're saving everybody. Even those nasty people. Why them? Here, this is 10 steps to help overcome depression. Okay? Step number one, those of you guys take notes, do something good for someone else, in Jesus' name. Okay? That's step number one. Okay, now I'm not making light of this, but here's step number two. Repeat step number one 9 times. Okay, and again, I'm not making light of being depressed, and I'm not saying this is the fix all for everything, because you can help someone else, and then they're a jerk, and then you're still struggling. But this will help you because it helps us to focus on others instead of focusing on ourselves, on our situation, on whatever. It helps us get our minds off our circumstances and back on the Lord and on his work. Does that make sense? Lisa, can I ask you a question? If somebody could bring her the mic just for a second. I hate to do this to you again. You don't even know I'm going to do this. But you know what? Last year, okay, I know you struggle health-wise, okay, in a lot of areas, okay? Yet, last year, you worked at Shepherd's Heart Christian School here, right? Mm-hmm. I know that you worked, you sacrificed a lot. You sacrificed your time, your whatever, for 10, 14 hours a day, right? And you did it in Jesus' name for no pay. Now, let me tell you, I probably didn't mention that. Anyway, whatever. Now, I just got the dirty word. The bottom line is, let me ask you a question here. How did you feel? Okay, you already don't have time. You're already, your health is not. But yet, when you started serving and loving and giving and focusing on the Lord, how did that change your, or did it?
Well, there's a big comparison. I don't think my health has changed much over the last few years. I have a chronic illness, and there's a lot of fatigue that goes along with it. And a lot of depression can go along with it and things like that. But it did help tremendously, being in the service of the Lord and having something to focus my attention on other than what was happening to my body or how tired I am. Or just the way I felt every second, you know, just taking my mind off myself and trying to minister to the kids did help me a lot. It did push me also to the things that I thought, man, I can't do that, and the Lord showed me I can do it through Him. But it did. I talk about it a lot at home that it's amazing the difference between the years that, I mean, my health hasn't changed. That I'm home and just focusing on myself and what's going on, and the kids are at school, and I have a lot of time to think about what could be going on with my heart, what could be going on with my mind, what could be going on with my lungs, you know. And when I'm at school and I'm ministering to the kids and I'm talking about the Lord constantly there with them, my focus is off of the things that I can't control, and it's on them, and it's on what the Lord's doing in their lives, and it has changed me. It makes me feel even better. So even though I'm tired as I'll get out, I'm a much thankful, much more productive person if I step outside myself. You know.
The next verse here says this, and he just wants to die, and so verse 4. But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" That's a good question, don't you think? Have you any right to be angry? I've got this one up there. Remember I told you that steam thing? That kirah, that Hebrew? So here's a question. Question number one. Is it ultimately okay to be angry at God? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm hearing yes and no.
Sure question.
Huh?
Sure question.
That is a little bit of a trick question. Oh, I don't like it that you said that, but yes. It's a little bit of a trick question. Why is it yes? Somebody over here said yes. So can give me a yes. Why is it? Why would it be yes? And I'm going to ask somebody else, why would it be a no? So give me a reason why it would be a yes. Or why might it be a yes?
It can be a yes because that's a human emotion. And you go through those emotions that He created us to have.
Yes.
And it, of course, it's the next thing that we do with the anger that, What are we going to do about it now that we recognize it? I find for me, when I'm honest, the fact that I am angry, then the healing's going to come a lot quicker that I'm just honest. Even in personal relationships, you look at someone and say, you know what? I'm really angry at you. Now how are we going to deal with this? Or why did I get angry? It's not really that I am. It's why, and what am I going to do about it?
Yes. And why the no? That's exactly right, by the way. Why the no? Why is it not okay? Ultimately, being angry at God. Well, I heard some no's. Everybody's like, I don't want to answer the other way now. Okay, oh, that's a guy. Okay.
If you react, if you sin in your anger, it would be wrong. Like if you start cussing at God or being angry at everybody else and stuff like that.
Okay, good. Elijah, go ahead.
Every time you messed up, God doesn't put, you know, the full force down on you, but when something's not going right for you, you put the full force on them. It's just not fair.
That's, you know what? It's not right. Well, so both those answers are right. It's a natural human emotion, isn't it? So it's okay. We're going to get angry, right? I think God knows that we're all, right? That we're all human. It's a natural human emotion, but ultimately, here, right here, son, if you can put this young lady. But ultimately, I don't think that it's right to be mad, because ultimately, to stay mad at God or to start accusing him, because he's never done anything to purposely harm you or to hurt you. His goal is to help you and to encourage you. So by getting all angry at God, you're saying, I don't trust in you. Go ahead, Ms. Shirley.
That's what I say ultimately. No, it's not okay, because our anger, we're usually angry at him because we don't see the big picture and we're not trusting in him, right?
Yes.
Our anger is misplaced.
Yes.
And then to say, yes, it is a true emotion, yes, or a feeling, but there are many others that it's not okay, yeah, even though we feel that way. You know, and it's something the Lord's going to work out in us.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, I agree. We need to answer it from that.
Yes, correct.
And ultimately, it was a call.
That was why I put the little ultimately in there. Right. It's exactly right. So, you know, do others get mad at God sometimes, or just me? If you look in Exodus, you're going to see that Moses is getting mad at God. He's like, oh, Lord, I'm trying to free these people, and nothing's going right. It's actually getting worse. And he's all mad at God. In Job, the same thing. In Habakkuk, he's mad at God. He later gets rebuked by God for that. But he's like, Lord, I'm crying out to you. You're not doing what I want when I want it. And in David, too, in 2 Samuel 6:8, remember when he was carrying the Ark of the Covenant in? He didn't do it the way God's word said, and God killed Uzzah, you know? And in the Psalms, you see David, you see him crying out to the Lord, Lord, I'm mad, I'm this, but I know that you're God. He always comes back around, so he knows our human frailties, and he'll work with us. But ultimately, it's not okay, because we have to trust in him. And is getting an angry a sin? Well, I'm going to say no. Now listen to me before he stones me. Okay? So here's the deal. If you look in Exodus 4:14, God's getting angry at Moses. He's sending Moses, and Moses is like, I can't do it. I can't speak. I'm not a good speaker. God's like, Moses, I said, I'm with you. And he says he's angry. Jesus in Mark 3:5 looked around in anger at the Pharisees. So when we talk about anger, God wants us as people to be slow to anger. That's what James 1:19 says. We should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. And here's the thing. Ephesians 4:26 says, and this is a nice way of saying it. My translation says, do not sin in your anger. But this is putting it a little bit differently than basically what it means. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on your anger while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold for the devil. So ultimately, that is not yet, that might well up in us, but what do you do with that anger? You vent it, like Hezekiah was saying. You start cursing at somebody or at the Lord. No, God gives you self-control. Okay. So here's what Jonah is wanting right here.
Oh.
Wow, that was...
Wow.
You didn't do that?
I
thought
it was.
Good
sound effect.
Wow.
Good sound. I know you like to
scare me.
I know you like to do things for emphasis, but that was a little
much.
Right.
Wow.
Maybe
God's trying to make a point right here.
Wow.
This is what Jonah's looking for. He's like, nuke him, boy. Nuke him. Maybe you're not really repenting. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, wouldn't that be great? Let's say they're not really serious. Get him, God. And so, it's just like the disciples. I mean, this must break God's heart when we do this. The disciples, remember? This is when Jesus was traveling through Samaria, and the Samaritans came out, and they were rejecting Jesus and his word. And so, the sons of thunder, right? James and John said, hey, Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy these people for rejecting you? Huh? Jesus turned and he actually rebuked them. Another Bible translation says, we don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know what spirit you're under. And he and his disciples went to another. That's not God's heart. It's not to nuke them, so to speak. Yes.
In all the examples that you've given, it boils down to one thing. As was mentioned before, anger is misdirected.
Yes.
instead of being directed at the situation, is being directed at the individuals, and that's what's wrong.
Well, even in the situation, though, you could get angry at God because of circumstances. Can you hit the light for a second? It goes on to say this. It says in verse 5 that Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. Again, why do you think he did that? Why did he go out of the city?
To watch him burn.
Yes!
Yeah, he wanted to toast him.
Maybe it's still
going to
happen, man.
He's
going to
call down fire and burn.
Let's be honest, though. Come on. Sometimes, right? You've forgiven somebody, but you've thought in your heart, yeah, but I hope God gets him. Maybe that's just me.
That's not true.
Laura,
Darren, don't you think he could also be saying, though, to go back a little bit?
Yes.
I knew you were going to do this anyway. Why did I have to go through all this? Oh, thank you.
It's more for the people than that, but go ahead.
But, I mean, he said, I went through the belly of the fish, I went through all of this, and I knew you were going to do this, so why did you waste my time? Mm-hmm.
Do you think
he's asking that?
You know what? That could be, but here's the deal. Just like Jonah is wanting the Ninevites to repent and obey, how much more his prophet? Because he needs to repent and obey. If God tells me to do anything, whether I understand it or not, he wants me to obey right away, all the way with a happy heart. You know, and that's where God is trying to get Jonah. He's after his heart. And so even if Jonah is saying that, you know what I mean? I think God's trying to teach him to trust him and to obey no matter what. And that's what God wants us to do. Trust him. How many Christians, I say, are going in this hamster wheel because they're not trusting God and they're not obeying him? Honestly. And they put it in some nice package, but that's the bottom line. And they're stuck. Sorry, it's just for the people in the back.
This is for the recording, too, right?
Yeah, it is also for the recording.
Okay. Jonah was like, I knew you would do this. I knew you would forgive them. But God still needed the prophet to go and tell them, or else they would stay in their sin.
Yeah.
So he couldn't say it was pointless. He just didn't want them to be saved. Right. But someone had to go and tell them.
Now, he could do that. Now, why does God choose us? He tells us to go. Right? He wants you to be a light. He wants you to be a city on a hill. He wants you to shine for Jesus. He doesn't need to do that. He can visit people personally if he wanted to. But here's the cool thing. He loves you, and he wants to use you, and he wants you to learn to obey and trust him, because that's where the joy comes from. That's where your fulfillment comes from. Lisa was just saying, that's where she got fulfilled. That's where you're going to get fulfilled. And that's one thing we got to learn. This is kind of how I picture Jonah, either crossing his arms, sitting there going, come on, Nuke. Come on, rain the fire. You know, I see him like sitting out there and hit that light for a second. Jack Corson said this, and I really do like this. Because in this verse, it says, he sat down in a place east of the city, and there he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Instead of working, instead of discipling, instead of being blessed himself and blessing others, he should have been discipled. He's got 120,000 noobs. Wow! Help them to grow. Encourage them in the Lord. Do a Bible study. Nothing. Listen, and Jack Corson said this, and I loved it. He says, if you want to be miserable and depressed, do what Jonah did. Remove yourself from the people. And just sit on the side of the hill with folded arms, watching, analyzing, judging. Oh, that church doesn't. Oh, that ministry doesn't. Oh, that person doesn't. Oh, that worship team doesn't. Oh, miserable. No, get your hands dirty and get in and start helping and serving and blessing. Stop waiting and start working. And do it where he's called you. Bloom where you're planted. Well, I just want to, Jonah's like, I just want to speak to the Jews because they all love God and it's my comfort level. God's like, no, I want you to minister right here where I'm calling you. And he says, if, however, you want to be fulfilled and blessed, both personally and in ministry, get out of yourself and into other people's lives. Don't be on a hillside watching, but be with the people ministering. Does that make sense? That's where fulfillment comes from when you're following the Lord. You will always be miserable if you're just doing your own thing. And now the Lord's going to provide something. Verse 6 says, the Lord God provided a vine. And again, that word provided is manah in Hebrew. And that means ordained, appointed. Same word when he provided the fish. And that word for vine, we don't really know what it means. Some of your translations might say gourd or castor oil. But we don't really. It's a plant. We don't even know. It's only used in Jonah 4. So maybe this is just an ordained vine. So God provided a vine and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head and ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy. This is funny. This is funny to me. This is the first time Jonah's happy in the whole book of Jonah. Isn't that true? He's not happy that he got spit saved by the fish or spit out off back on land or even that the people got saved. He's happy. Worse because why? What? Where is his... Why? What is it? His comfort. Oh! You hear that? He said, because he was comfortable. He's a little shady. But where is his focus again? Why is he happy? Because he's focusing on
selfish.
Yes. Sad, huh? It goes on to say that Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm that chewed, I love that same word, provided, ordained, appointed, through the vine so it withered. When the sun rose, then God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, and he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, it would have been better for me to die than to live. So here, you know, it's the same way with us. Sometimes God's sending us the blessing. You know, we're, oh, so happy. But he's also sending the worm to do some, not damage, but he's pruning. He's developing us. Sometimes God's going to comfort you one day and develop you another day. It doesn't mean he loves you yesterday and he hates you today. He's just doing a developing work in your life. He's trying to get at Jonah's heart. But Jonah said in verse 9, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? Jonah has passion and pity for this vine dying, but not for the people. How about you? And then it says, I love Jonah's answer. Do you have a right to be angry about this vine? Jonah says, I do! Does he? Does this sound familiar? Jonah's not getting it. You know, the fish, the Ninevite people, the vine, the worm, the wind, they've all obeyed God, but Jonah refuses to get his heart right with God. Isn't that true? He's more concerned about being comfortable than for caring for the people around him. How many of us are like that? Gosh, if we would just change our heart, people in here, they would explode, growth, love, and fill. They would flow to other people. But it takes people making a decision. I'm more concerned about caring for others than for my own comfort. And then it says, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And Nineveh has more than 120,000 people, or some say little ones, who cannot tell their right hand from their left. That's in the inner city. And again, 600,000 in Nineveh proper. And then he says this, and many cattle as well. In other words, if you can't be concerned about the people, shouldn't you even be cared about livestock? Anything? And then he says, this is kind of where he says, should I not be concerned about this great city? Now, this is the only time, Jonah ends the book with a question. It's in Jonah and Nahum is the only time the Bible ends with a question. But the question isn't really for Jonah as much as it is for you. And as much as it is for me, will you be concerned about the people? So you can keep on going with your life, status quo, as is. You don't need to get involved. You don't need to get out of your comfort zone. hit a Bible study, maybe feel encouraged, volunteer at the children's ministry, come to the men's group, let's help the women's group, help us. You don't need to do any of that stuff. Share the gospel with a friend, help encourage some of these new. You don't need to do any of that. But will you be concerned and choose to be concerned for the people around you? Jonah, sadly, wasn't. Will you be waiting? Or will you be working? That's the question Jonah's asking, being asked. And that's the question that I think God would ask you, or that God would ask me. Gary, would you come up here for a second? We're just going to end with communion together. And, if you want to start passing out.
Let me.
Okay. But I just want you to leave this one thought as we pray, and then Gary just leaves us in it. He's got a short communion session, as he said, and then we're just going to have communion together and be dismissed. But would you please think about that? Are you going to be waiting and watching, or are you going to be working? Are you going to choose to be comfortable, or are you going to choose to serve? Are you going to choose to care about people? Am I going to? God's calling you to serve his people. Are you going to listen, and with what heart? Are you going to be resentful? Or are you going to say, man, God, I'm not going to resent it. This isn't a problem. This is a privilege. Let's take 1 minute break. Father, we just want to say thank you for your word. We know that it doesn't return void. And I pray in Jesus' name that something that was said today, that you would supernaturally prick a heart, my heart, your heart, someone's heart in here, Lord, that you would speak that word and hide it deep in their heart. And you'd stir up those who you've called to serve, Lord God, to do what you've asked them to do, and do it with a right heart, Lord. Would you bless them and help them? And even as we take this communion time, Lord, I pray it would be time that we could give it up to you, Lord, that you would do whatever it takes in our lives, in Jesus Christ.
Would everyone join me? Guys, you can hang on until we finish reading the word. Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the blood, body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world. Okay, guys, you can start passing it out now. I want to keep this real short, because I think the Lord would have you hear from him and not me this morning. You know? The word remembrance kept coming to mind when I was looking at this passage. You know, and when we say, do this in remembrance of me, well, what are we actually saying? I think we're saying that we're remembering who Jesus is. We're remembering what he did. And that. But when we truly are in remembrance, I think we want to become more like the who we're remembering. You know, if we're remembering... in a war debt, we want to be more honorable. in the case of the Lord, we want to be more like Him. And that I think the purpose is for us to draw closer to the Lord, to use this time. I'm not leaving out the pastor here. So what I'm going to pray here is that because the Lord has something for each one of us today. For some of us, it's a place in our life that He wants us to consider changing. It's a place maybe that we need to give up to Him. And some cases, it's a place where He wants to encourage us. Some of us, it may be a message that He wants us to serve. To be a Mary or a Martha, and I'm going to pray that the Lord would touch each and every person and speak specifically to them, to their hearts, and that. And then when you're ready, when you've had that judgment, that time with the Lord, then take the bread and the juice, and remember who the Lord is and what He's done for us. Father God, we give this time to You, and I ask that You would use it to bring to each and every mind here, Lord, young and old, baby believers, people who have walked with You for decades, Lord. Touch each and every one of us. Give us the message that You have for us, what You would have us do with our lives, what You would have us change. What You would have us turn over to You, Lord. Whatever You would have in our lives, do that now, Lord. Just touch each and every person here. And I thank You in advance for what You're going to do in these lives. In the name of our Savior, Jesus.
My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. Prayers are cold. I know how I ought to be alive to You and dead to me. But what can be done for an old heart like mine? Please soften it up with the oil.
Face shine upon You and be gracious unto You, that You feel His presence as you walk with Him in the upcoming week. Lord, we thank You for Your presence in our lives. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your grace, whether we deserve it or like the Ninevites, we do not, Lord. And we thank you for that you save even those that we don't think are worthy of being saved, Lord. Give us softer hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, amen.